B-Pod Studios.
Station. 4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missanelli Show. It is brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. Sixers monster win. Flyers follow with a monster win over the Pittsburgh Penguins. Must-win situation after coming up small in two previous games. They probably don't have enough juice left to make the playoffs, but it was a nice win.
It was. It took a lot of the starch out, though.
Coots.
When they were up 5-2 against Toronto,
yeah, that was,
and they
that
give
was
up five
game.
Straight goals.
Yeah, that was a bad game.
That really killed
them. But yeah, they did come back and have enough courage to come back and beat Pittsburgh and play a solid game.
They did. This coach has to at least get a real look when the interview time comes, because they've played hard for him, if nothing else.
Yeah, and the Phillies, Bryce Harper, amazingly, gets back in the lineup. Had a couple hits against minor leaguers today. It has not had a hit in spring training yet this year. The big story that came out of camp was this story. I don't know how this even leaked out, that last year's Phillies team caused Carlos Santana to smash a television because players during the games were playing Fortnite.
It's insane.
On the TV screen.
That's insane.
Well, it's just like that Boston situation where they're eating chicken in the locker room during the game, right?
I mean,
that caused a hullabaloo.
Yeah, they were eating chicken. Yeah, that was during Fred Conus last year.
Yes.
They were eating chicken, Papelbon, that troublemaker.
Right.
And they're eating chicken during the game.
Exactly.
I think that's better than playing video games, though, if you just want a little snack.
Nah.
These guys weren't focused on the game, and Santana grabbed the bat and smash the TV.
And it was that happened during the epic losing streak in which they were the first team to be in first place in August, blah, 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 and finish under 500.
Yeah.
During that losing skid, that's when they decided to turn up the Fortnite.
Yeah, Jake Arrieta says, at a certain point, your focus needs to shift towards preparing for the game. Some people like to lock in on their phone and watch a show. I'm okay with that. I don't really care if you want to play Fortnite up to a half hour before the game. Well, I got a problem with that. How's that lock you in?
Well, how long does it take to get ready for
baseball? I don't care. You're thinking about the gosh damn game, not Fortnite.
30 minutes
you
before the game.
You're going over the pitcher. What he threw to you last time. Look at some video. That's how I prepare. You want to watch video? You watch video, not Fortnite.
What is Fortnite on your phone? Is it on, or do you have
it's
to play on a television?
It's on both. They got it
video
on the phone.
Game. It's just a video
and,
game.
And they got it on the console. So they probably had it at Xbox or a PlayStation in there, which would make sense.
Oh, okay.
To have that there, not during the game, but it would make sense over a long season to have that there, because you spend a lot of time there, you get on the sticks. It makes sense.
Makes sense to me.
No.
I'm old school.
I guess you're old school, but when you're at that job.
Maybe our pal Darren Dalton would say that.
Darren Dalton.
Playing Fortnite half hour prior to the game.
Well, half hour prior, he would have a problem with it.
Of course he would.
2 hours before, though, I don't think he'd care. In fact, I think he'd play.
Yeah. Well, that's not, we're not talking about 2 hours before. We're talking about him. Arrieta says, if you want to play Fortnite up to a half hour before the game, if that locks you in, I don't mind that. But during a game, that's a different story. Well, half hour is almost the game.
Nah, not in baseball. That's a little game of leisure. You're the one who told me that it's leisure.
Half hour, you got to be thinking of what you're going to face.
Hold on.
You're going to be leisure? Grinding. You're going to be thinking ball, not Fortnite.
No, Mike, I think I just caught you. Earlier when I was talking about some of the issues with baseball, you told me it was leisure, not labor. Now when the Fortnite comes in, now it's labor. Which one is
it? It's concentration. It's the most leisurely of all the sports, but that doesn't mean you don't have to concentrate.
30 minutes in, you get locked in.
Damn video games.
Man, you don't believe what you're saying.
Mike.
You don't. You're a competitor.
No, I am a competitor.
You don't believe
you do these shows every day. You get locked in early, then you get into your alt music, then you get back into the show. You don't get locked into the show. You do your alt music to get your mind locked in, then you're ready to roll.
I'm
you
locking
use your
in.
Alt
music is background for getting locked into the stories that I'm reading.
Yeah.
All right? They're not going to over scouting reports when they're playing Fortnite.
Is it like a gun game?
Yes, kind of. And there's dances in it.
That's where that floss came from.
That's where the floss and several of the other dances came from. But no, they're being sued because the dances came from people. Fortnite stole the dances.
When I'm listening to the music before the show,
yeah.
I'm thinking about the show.
Yeah.
Just like when I used to study. I used to have music on in the background studying for school. But I'm locked into the materials. You can't be locked into a baseball game when you're playing Fortnite.
Well, how long does it take to get locked into a baseball game? Let's say you did your studying, you take a break, then you get yourself locked in. Is that impossible? I'm asking, seriously.
A half hour before the game to be playing Fortnite is ridiculous, in my view.
All right?
It's a half hour before the game.
During the
stretch
game.
Out, do whatever you need to do. Look at the last minute scouting report, go over your last at-bat video. There's plenty of stuff you can do. Let's go to Steven in Vineland. Steven, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Steven.
Yeah, how you doing there, Mike?
What's up, Steve?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm going to go with the Fortnite thing. It's ridiculous. I mean, you're going to pay a ton of money, really? And you're going to play Fortnite a half hour before the game?
Or during the game. That was the problem. Carlos freaked out. Carlos went loco.
Yeah.
Well, he came in there and saw that.
Listen, read the last episode of Playboy, Cosmo Pop and Salted. You know, get locked in. Listen to music. You're going to play Fortnite? My kid plays Fortnite. He's 13
I'd be thinking about the game. I'd have some music going. I'd have some music going. I'd be visualizing the pitch. What's he going to throw me first time up? Last time, he threw me fastball, curveball. You know, stuff like that.
Not only that, I mean, these kids are playing the games. It's ridiculous. In the summertime, you don't even see them riding bikes anymore. I've never seen a bike in the last 3 years.
Well, I don't care about the kids. I'm talking about professional athletes here. Who cares about what the kids are doing? I don't care what the kids are doing.
I'm just saying they're playing like they're kids.
I get it. Listen, there's a lot of time to kill in a clubhouse. I get it. You know, you're going to have toys in a clubhouse because you're in there 5 hours before a game. I get that. Half hour before the game, it's time to think about the game, yo.
For sure. I'm with you 100% there. And to the Sixers, I think the key is, you know, the turnovers are a key. The fourth quarter, I think Butler's the closer. I really do.
Are you a good player? Right, and what's he do? He attacks.
Yeah,
he attacks. He gets in there and he gets his chest to chest with a defender and he scores off a little bank shot, a little flip, a little jumper. You know, he's perfected that. That's what I wanted to see Ben do yesterday.
Right, and the thing is, the reason why he's bringing the ball up in the fourth quarter because Ben turns it over too many times.
Yeah.
Not for nothing. I love Ben. Yeah,
Ben was
a great player,
overly cautious yesterday. Maybe he didn't want to turn the ball over. Maybe it was strategic that he didn't play like he usually plays. Because sometimes he has a tendency to turn the ball over when he's dashing to the basket. Maybe he played it that way for the team's protection.
And Embiid only had the one turnover. Usually he has more, so that helped too.
Zach Perkesy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Zach.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Zach?
Good. I went to school up in New England. I have some friends who lived up there. That Red Sox team, it was the 11 Red Sox team. They were playing video games too. It was in the bullpen. They were drinking beer, eating chicken, and playing video games during the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Josh Beckett and John Lester.
Yeah, it's a no-no. Yeah, on, man.
Yeah. But the Sixers game. I'll start by saying, you know, the huge win. You know, this team's their best basketball ahead of them, but. I saw some concerns, their defense just, you know, giving up 53s isn't going to cut it, you know, come, you know, playoff time.
Yeah, but yesterday yesterday wasn't a concern for me because they scored and they answered everything Milwaukee did.
They did, but like, I watched that entire game. Some of the closeouts on those threes, they were either walking out or even they weren't getting hands up. It seemed really lackadaisical.
I get it. And Milwaukee helped them out by missing a lot of open threes. I get that whole thing.
I don't know if there's a percentage of open threes there, but of the 50, I got to say at least 20 to 25.
I agree with you. But the thing is, they made the play. When the other team creeped, and we've seen it before, when another team creeps, they usually help them. Yesterday, they didn't help them. Yeah. They answered everything Milwaukee had for them.
Yeah, I was waiting on for them to invariably take a one-point lead at some point there in, the final minute.
They didn't allow them to have the lead at all. They made plays after play.
They did. The other thing, again, we avoided the turnovers, but what's up with our dribble handoffs? Like, it looks like we don't practice them.
Yesterday wasn't a problem, the dribble handoff.
It wasn't too bad, but, I mean, like, even Embiid and JJ, like, they got mixed up on a couple where it's like,
you're not going to play a perfect game, Zach. You're complaining about a game they won in Milwaukee. It wasn't perfect. I'm the same way. I strive for perfection, and I pick out little things. But, you know, when you score enough points and you clutch up in the fourth quarter and answer what the other team has, because the other team, an NBA team, they're going to make a run. They're a good team. And when you hold them off, there's something to be said for that.
And what do you think about Embiid's, again, results-oriented, we won the game, but, you know, Embiid taking that three there, only up four at the end there.
Did he make that? How would you complain about one that he made?
I'm not complaining about one he made, but I'm saying in the future.
In the future, he might make it again. You can't complain about if he misses that shot there, it leads to a run out in a basket, and all of a sudden your butt cheeks are clenched, then you got a concern. But he took it confidently, and he made it. So you can't complain about that particular three.
He mentioned the dribble handoff.
Mm-hmm.
Embiid and J.J. Redick combined for two turnovers. So there's no way they missed up a bunch of them because that's literally impossible.
See, people are remembering past games.
Yeah.
And they're carrying it into a game where it didn't apply. So you don't make the mistake of doing that. The only thing that I focused on last night is that I thought Ben Simmons was not attacking and was a little timid. That's the only thing I had a problem with last night. Let's go to Vicente in Lansdowne. Vicente, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vicente.
Correcto. How are you?
¿Cómo está? What's up, Vicente?
Oh, here, I'm trying to park along the shoulder so I can relax.
You need to relax when you call us. That's a good idea.
I'm on my way to Harrisburg.
What are you doing in Harrisburg?
Attending some training and workshops and meetings as well.
Uh-huh.
A couple of days.
Good. You guys can't do enough workshops.
Right. Yes, no, you have to learn more and more.
Exactly right. Keep that traffic flowing, brother.
I just want to say welcome back to Señorita Natalie. We were missing you.
Thank you, Vicente.
Yes, Señorita had a nice vacation.
Yes, she definitely saw, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, like our friend Andrew Salsunas was making overtime, killing himself 15 hours in a row.
He's the hardest working man here, Andrew. He's going to go places, that kid.
But, you know, we...
Oh, he only worked 8 hours, we were told. We were all told he was only working 8 hours. You're giving him too much credit now.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah. I thought he was working in the morning show.
No, they gave him off.
All right, that's good. Mm-hmm. But we finally learned that he doesn't even cook a potato. He just...
That is one of the biggest violations I've ever heard. The man is using potato flakes.
I mean, not
come on, man.
Cooking, you know, 101.
Yeah, well, I can't help the kid. He's using potato flakes. You can stick a potato in a microwave and get a real potato. He's making potato flakes on a stovetop.
Yeah. No, the next time Natalie has to take a vacation, has to go to Ecuador because. Over there, the water is like 90 degrees.
So her next vacaciones en la Ecuador.
Vacaciones en Ecuador.
All right, there you go, Nat.
There we go. Ecuador, here I come.
You got to start saving. Now, Mikey Miss.
Yes, sir.
Did you watch the Godzilla movie yesterday at ABC?
No.
Come on, the Godzilla movie.
Did I watch the Godzilla movie?
Yeah, the two giants, the space monsters.
When was that on?
Giannis against Embiid.
Oh! see.
My God, they crush everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
They put a show.
Bufanadas you just gave me.
That guy, what is his name? Atento Kualumpula or something like that.
You're nuts, man. Dude, you're nuts. I thought he was an actual movie. My day was spent watching TV after TV. College basketball to the Players' Championship, watching him hitting it in the water, to the Sixer game, back to the end of the golf, then the Selection Sunday. I was zeroed in, baby.
You're very, very busy.
And then the After the Selection Sunday show, when they try to kill 3 hours on ESPN with Seth Greenberg asking stupid questions to John Calipari.
Calipari stunts on everybody.
He does.
He puts all the jerseys on him. John Wall, Cousins, he puts all the jerseys on
him. He's like a stand-up comedian. Like Sebastian Maniscalco, Cal Perry.
They got a shot to win the whole thing. They're in the mix.
By Kentucky?
They're in the mix.
Yeah, let me see where I have Kentucky going. I got them getting beat by North Carolina, who I think can win the whole thing.
Carolina is my champion, and I have them going the same place. But if you get to the eight, it gets a really good team. You're in the mix. I'm saying
you
Kentucky
know, unfortunately
can.
For you, Virginia gets the number one seed. Tyrone's favorite team that he hates, the Virginia Cavaliers, for reasons that are unknown, because they play a very fundamental basketball game.
They're boring.
Unfortunately for them, they will not play any athletic teams until they get to Tennessee. So they will get to the eight, and they could get to the final four.
I got them in the eight. I refuse to.
I got Tennessee beating them.
So do I.
But I got my surprise squad, UC Irvine, winning two games early.
Got them beating K-State.
I got them beating K-State, and then beating was overrated and boring Wisconsin.
Well, Oregon's going to beat them.
Are you really?
I got to pick against all the teams I don't like watching. So they're all like Virginia. I couldn't, but Wisconsin out, and I got that Auburn out.
You couldn't get me to pick a Pac-12 team if you put a gun to my head, brother. That conference stinks. You're picking Oregon?
Yeah.
Stop it. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. We have two open lines. Jerome in Elkins Park. You're on 97.5 Fanatic. Jerome.
Yes. How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Jerome?
Natalie and Tyrone. That was a good win. Brett Brown coached a pretty good game. They managed to keep the lead.
Mm-hmm.
But Wednesday is going to be the game. It's going to really be a statement game because we know who they're playing. They have no wins against them this season. This is a new squad,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to see what the improvements have been made. Unfortunately, Embiid seems to have a problem when he plays Horford, a wily veteran. And Butler has had experience.
Not to mention Simmons has trouble against them.
Beg pardon?
Not to mention that Simmons also has a lot of problems against
Boston.
I was
going to let him cut him a slack last time, but yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I hear it.
Established.
I hear it.
You know, everything else is just, party, you know, just paper mm-hmm. for faith.
Now, what would... I look at it a different way. Boston obviously has some kind of kryptonite with the Sixers, right? But even if they lose to Boston, I go, well, who cares? Because they're not going to play them anyway. You know, like Boston is not a threat to the Sixers in the playoffs.
That's not a given.
Yeah, it's kind of a given.
It's not a given.
Yeah, it is.
You got to really establish something in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
To say it's just that you're beating the Celtics, no. You're establishing something as far as your team, as far as how you coach, how you play. You know?
Mm-hmm.
These are things that can't be just dismissed.
I get it. Listen, I'd be a lot more comfortable if they beat Boston Wednesday, believe me. But then I go, well, who cares? Because they're not going to play them anyway.
what I will say is that... if they face Toronto, or, you know, if they do face Boston, let me put it like this, then I'll wrap this up. If they play well in the second playoff run and still lose, even if they play well, I'm willing to give Brown another shot.
If they lose in the second round?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm done.
If they play well.
I'm out.
Because I feel as though, you know, he's only had this team for a certain period of time. So, I mean,
I
judge him harsh. But, you know.
Doesn't matter to me. You got a squad that should beat Toronto in a 7-game series. That's the way I look at it. And if you can't orchestrate a game plan to beat them, I think it's time for change. Last time they played Boston, they lost by 3. They did have Tobias Harris in that game. Tobias Harris is 0-for-6 in 3-point line. He didn't play that well. Simmons was 7-for-9. Joel Embiid was 9-for-22. He had a triple double that game, actually. They didn't get much off their bench, so Korkmaz was still getting minutes back then. So that was when they first got all those guys together, right? Yeah. They hadn't been together for very long.
That was either their second or third game together.
Yeah.
Hadn't even had any practices. Because even when Embiid was out, they were still having practices together.
Mm-hmm.
During those 8 games, I think they had maybe had one practice before they played that game.
Yeah, Hayward killed him in that game.
Off the bench.
Yeah, Hayward made a bunch of shots. All right, 610-632-0975. Two lines are open. What did that game Sunday, the Sixers, do for you as far as your thought process on what they can do this season? Did it convince you that they are all the way in the mix to get to the NBA Finals? Or do you still think they can lose in the second round? And if they do, what happens to the squad then? Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Twitter poll at 4:30, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Miss Natalie.
Over 1,100 votes on this one so far. After the big win yesterday, are you ready to give Brett Brown credit? 71% say yes, good coaching. 29% say no, it was the players.
All right, this is how into the game I was yesterday, because I started tweeting Tyrone at 4:13 p.m.
Yeah.
All right, 4:13, the game started at 3:30.
Yeah.
All right, here's my first tweet to you. Ben not getting to the basket. You, nope, walling him off.
They were.
All right. Second tweet. Bleeping TJ. Two bad lobs and lazy D on that layup. You. Yeah, and then he had that stupid foul on Giannis to end the quarter at half court.
I hated that. I hated that foul. Hated that foul.
My next one. Why that quick three by Joe? I like the quick three. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Too early in the shot clock. You go, not sure. He's played his ass off, though, through this half.
He did.
Yeah, you had his back.
He did.
Next, pass low to Ben, and he passes it up. You, yep, I don't like that. Later, Ben is killing me in this game. WTF, go harder than 10. You, 4 points.
That's all he had at that point. He only had 4 points.
I go, he's back to that Boston bleep. Yep, can't do that. Has to be more aggressive. And then a little later, I go, Giannis just said he's a baby about Ben after that dunk. And you go, damn. He's not wrong, though. He punked him.
He did.
All right, we're getting back to the phones. I'm paying half attention to the high school stuff that's going on, right? And there's this kid that's playing for Coatesville who's averaging 43 points in the PIAA tournament. And they just beat Chester.
Yeah.
Right? He had 52. Now, he's being recruited by Ryder and Bryant University in Rhode Island. Now, how in the world does a school like LaSalle or St. Joe not take a shot at this kid?
What's his name?
His name is, what is his name? Jameer Brickus.
Coatesville?
Yeah.
Jameer Brickus is his name.
Now,
52 is 52.
Wow, that's right. Insane.
And he did it against Chester.
Right, and they're good. I'm out and about, and somebody who was at that game who I follow on Instagram went Instagram live at the game. So I'm watching the kid. I don't know if that's allowed or not. This kid's killing him. I'm like, well, how come I'm not hearing more about this guy?
I look
He's
around at these Division I programs, and there's always a small kid who's dynamic. I'm like, why wouldn't this kid fit in St. Joe or LaSalle? He could be a scorer at both those schools.
I agree with you.
If he has an acumen to score, like he might be just like Speedy Claxton good. You know how good he was in college?
Yeah, and when I'm watching it, he wasn't cherry picking or anything either, because when I heard a little bit about it, I'm looking at him. He's bringing it up sometimes. He's getting people off the dribble.
I know he's 5'10", but he might be lightning quick enough to play at a higher level than Bryant or Ryder.
Well, look at that.
Ryder's pretty good ball. I don't know.
Ryder is Division I. They're good, but they haven't been in the tournament for a while.
Yeah.
Because look at that kid at Kentucky a few years ago, or Tyus Edney. You never know with those. There's little guys that can fit in college.
Yeah. 52, this kid.
Yeah, he was torching him on that Instagram live.
It's going to Dave in Audubon. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Mikey Miss, how you doing?
What's going on, Dave?
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk a little Sixers, but before I did, a good friend of mine knows I'm a frequent caller of the show, and he made me promise that he would say hello to Natalie for him. So, Natalie, Hampy Corson says hello.
All right, Hampy. All right, nice job, Hamp.
Yeah, message delivered.
All right.
All right, I'm thrilled about the win. I think they're finally playing as a cohesive unit, and my outlook for the playoffs is a lot brighter, and I'm not basing it just on that game. And I don't know how people can call in with negative outputs on the way they saw that game unfold, because they went punch for punch. And like you said, every time they responded, just about every time. Now, as far as Brett Brown goes, we've had this discussion before, and I know you're a logical guy, and obviously last year they got eliminated in the second round, and they have a much better squad this year. Mm-hmm. So if they get eliminated in the second round, changes needed to be made. Personally, if barring a totally embarrassing second round elimination, I am bringing Brett Brown back. Only because I want to see what this team... Well, first of all, I think the East may look drastically different next year. I don't know if Kyrie's coming back. I don't know if Kawhi's coming back.
Well, I don't know if Jimmy Butler's coming back.
I knew that was coming. That's correct.
This is the thing. If they lose in the second round, I mean, what's his enthusiasm for coming back?
2020, Mike. You called it. I
get it, but not a second round loss. Maybe a finals loss that goes to seven games. A second round loss. They didn't get past the second round last year. They got a better team this year. The coach has to be good enough to get past that second round.
I understand that, but there are variables. The East is considerably that better this year.
Yeah, but the Sixers are considerably better.
Yes, they are, and I think they're going to make a decent run. I think they're going to make a decent showing. I truly do.
But you're allowing for a second-round exit. I'm not allowing for that.
But I just don't want to disrupt what they've got going. I don't know if it's because, you know...
Losing the second round, what do they got going?
For time served, because he sat through all those tank years. I would.
That's sentimental. I'll send him a Whitman sampler, and I love the guy. All right, but I'm not worried about, because he went through all the bad years. You got to deliver this year, bro. Sorry, Dave. I'm a little hard hearted when it comes to this right now. They got a team on the cover, Sports Illustrated. I'm going to allow for them to lose in the second round. What's it get me? John and Emmaus, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Mikey, man.
What's up, John?
How are you, man?
Good.
Hey, listen, I'm so pumped about how the Sixers are playing. I'm excited about them. My wife and I watch them every night. We go down to a lot of the games. The two things about the team that worry me right now is when the game's close at the very end, Ben Simmons is afraid to get the ball. I think he's afraid to take the foul shots. You actually, if you watch him, He runs up court before we inbound the ball, or he inbounds.
Yeah, that's strategic. They want him to do that. They don't want him to get. They don't want teams to employ the foul Ben. But for on his side, he has shot fouls a lot better.
I agree. I just think they're hiding him.
That's strategic. They are hiding him. They got Butler with the ball. They want to put the ball in their better foul shooter hands.
I know, but they struggled to inbound the ball on that one play, and they burned a timeout twice, so they didn't have a timeout to take. I just think when you have a guy that can't be on the floor to get a ball because you're afraid he can't...
Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to leave Ben Simmons off the floor?
No.
Why? What do you want? What do you want to do here?
I just want him to practice 100 foul shots a day.
Do you think he does that? I love people. Love that they know their practice habits. Like, I guarantee you, he's shooting a lot of jump shots and he's shooting a lot of free throws. You can guarantee that. Now, in the game, his free throw shooting percentage has improved considerably. He's not taking the jump shot, but I don't have a problem with the way he's been shooting free throws lately.
They're burying him, and I guess they need to get it to Butler, to get it to Harris. My other point that I really struggle with is, and like I said, I got to tell you, I'm glad they're winning, but I feel like we're never seeing the starting five on the floor together. You know, even in a close team, CJ McConnell's in there.
They're on the floor together in the end. I mean, you got to rest some guys. You got to keep guys in the 35-minute range. That's where you got it. And yesterday, if you look at their minutes played, they all played like 35 minutes, all of them, all their starters. That's exactly where they want to keep them.
I just, I, I just feel like I'm seeing TJ out there way too much.
Well, TJ played 18 minutes, and I agree with you that he plays a little too long. He shot 10. He took 10 shots yesterday. Jesus, that's a lot of shots for TJ McConnell. But that's where they want to keep him. And in the playoffs, they'll extend him more. You know, I mean, the reason why they hold him to 35 now is because they can stretch that to 38, maybe 40 some nights in the playoffs. 610-632-0975. Yeah, the Eagles signed a safety who was a pretty good player. He was all banged up last year. So he missed a lot of time last year, Zendejo, but was a starter in this league and a pretty good player.
So that tells me they're not good. The kid's going to be the slot because the thought was maybe he'll be a swing backup safety. He's now your third safety. So the kid's going to be, and that means,
Maddox you're talking about.
Yeah, Maddox.
Maddox will be the slot.
For sure. Yeah. And that means Jones is like, he's got one job. He's got to compete.
He's got to beat out Jalen Mills.
And or Darby or.
Darby's going to start. He has to beat out Jalen Mills on that side.
Okay.
All right? You got to start Darby.
Well, he might start. There was thought that maybe he'd be a pup guy early.
Who, Darby?
Yeah.
Possible because of the.
Because of the ACL, yeah.
All right. 610-632-0975. Mike Misnelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's on NBC Sports Philly. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
447, Mike Misnelli Show. So Temple makes the NCAA tournament playing game against Belmont. That'll be tomorrow. And Natalie, I'm surprised that your retort was not, because I picked Belmont already.
Well, I knew you weren't going to give them any credit.
No, I didn't give them credit. They squeaked in. I wanted them to get in.
You don't want them to win, though.
No, I hope they win. I think Belmont's a better bet.
I'm going to wear some Temple gear tomorrow.
Belmont's an underrated team. I think that's going to be really difficult for Temple to win that game. But I'm surprised your retort was, well, where's Penn State playing?
Oh, yeah. And, where are they?
You know where they're playing?
I haven't heard much.
They're playing pickup games in the intramural building right now. Because they didn't even make the NIT field. Know why?
Why?
Defending NIT champs.
I know they are.
Not make the NIT field.
What's up with that?
They did not have a winning record. Only winning records are selected for the NIT.
Oh, you don't say.
That's correct. They were 14-18.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did not make the NIT field.
Sorry, Penn State.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at the NIT. They got, like, Sam Houston State is in the NIT. And what else? Lipscomb is in the NIT.
You had the coach on last year when they won, remember?
Well, we had Flavor Flav on.
That was the Friday before.
That's why Flav came on. I didn't even get no Flav this year.
Yeah, that was the Friday before we started on TV.
Yeah, I lost my
Penn State's not in the NIT. I lost my Flav privileges.
Yeah. Dan sent us the graphic. He said, I never thought I'd do this graphic. We can't do a repeat.
Can you play the Flavor Flav? People didn't know the Flavor because Shep Garner was his cousin, who was the captain of Penn State's team last year. And this year they just...
this is epic.
They were terrible. So,
here we go.
Come on, Flav.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Flavor Flav. And you're listening to the Mike Misnelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. The best show in town, boy.
Yeah. Flav.
The Mike Misnelli Show.
Mike Misnelli Show.
We just went with it.
I know. Yeah, Flav.
It's good to Stan in Lancaster. Stan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, Nick. Mikey Miss. Thanks for taking
my call. What's up, Stan? How you doing?
Well, I wanted to say I'm very encouraged by that win yesterday, especially since the Greek Freak had a record-breaking game and Tobias Harris didn't play his potential as much as he can contribute, has contributed.
Yeah, he was very quiet, Tobias.
Yeah, so, but... Anyway, I did want to ask you, you've been saying from time to time here about them winning that game wire to wire, and they were behind a couple times. I didn't know what you meant
by that. Well, where were they behind? They like marginally, though. They were pretty...
Yeah.
They got down two in the third quarter somewhere along the line. They were pretty much wire to wire. They really weren't in trouble.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't sure if you used that as a horse racing term. You know,
you know what I mean. I was rounding it off. They were pretty much wire to wire.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That was great. Right. And the only other comment I had was I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I was reading today about the top 50 scorers in the NBA, and I guess you probably already know this, but just hit me. They got five players. They're the only team in the NBA that has all five players, starters, in the top 50. And that's pretty encouraging.
Well, that tells me they should win the second round. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Okay. And from yesterday, I don't know why they wouldn't win the third round.
Yeah, we'll see about the third round.
Yeah.
You know, they play to a seven-game series. They wind up losing game seven. Then I guess I got to take a back seat and say, okay, Brett, you did a nice job.
No, you're right. But a lot of it, I don't know. As I see sometimes, nail-biting times is when they're just really off when they're threes. I mean, if Rick is out there and just has one of those cold nights, you know, or Harris isn't shooting his 40%, or, you know, those kinds of things. You just need the guys to pick it up. You know, Jimmy Butler come in here and play like he can and so on and so forth. But they're the kind of things I don't think are the coach. I mean, they're just the players that might have an off night, and that can happen.
Okay. Well, but yeah, I like them, though. I mean, the way they held up yesterday against that team is a pretty good test for them, and they held them off, and yeah, they kept the crowd out of it. I'm looking at the second quarter. They were behind by a point twice.
Right. No,
that's as bad as it got.
Yep, you're right. That's it.
All right, man.
Okay. You got Thanks it. For taking
yeah.
the call.
All right. Yeah, they were down 35-34. And 32-31 in the second quarter. That was it.
Yeah,
the only time they trailed.
At the half, they led by 9, and then after 3, even though Greek Freak went off for 17 points, they were up by 7. So people were like, "Oh no, they were up by 7. They did drop by 2 points."
Yeah. All right. Simmons from the line.
Yeah, from
last 8 games, folks. Ben Simmons from the line. 27-36, 75%. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but that's with an 0-for-2 yesterday. So before that, he'd been even better.
Yeah, all right. So he's coming around. Then maybe they can trust him late in the games. But to protect that lead yesterday, they still had him off the ball, which is fine by me. Jimmy Butler's taking over. I like the way they closed out that game. I thought the game was well coached by them. I thought his timeouts were really good. I've got no problems with yesterday's game, except for the fact that Ben seemed a little disengaged. And I want to see him do a little Giannis thing where he attacks.
It took Giannis some time, but he's gotten so... I didn't realize how much bigger he was.
Yeah, well, he gained like 40 pounds, right?
Yeah, they said 50 he's come in the league. But even from last year, when he drops that shoulder on you, boy, that's tough.
Yubi, this young guy gained 53 pounds. This young guy, it's amazing.
You know, the play-by-play guy sneakily doesn't look it. He's over 60 as well.
Who? Mark Jones?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah, looks great for his age.
He does look great.
And Yubi's over 80.
Is Yubi over 80?
Over 80, yeah. He's walking all hunched over because the last couple had been at home, so I was courtside watching when he came in. I mean, he's still moving fine, but he's a little hunched over
This young guy who's our president. Is that
he's 10 years older.
Everybody's the young guy. All right, we go to the 5 o'clock hour, the precarious 5 o'clock hour right here live on TV and on 97.5 The Fanatic. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.